The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Gardaí are meeting this week to vote on motions to discuss issues in the force and to air their grievances. Last week, the GRA conference was thrown into the limelight after the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, declared that she would not be attending. With me now to discuss this is President of the Garda Representative Association, Brendan O'Connor. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Anton.
Brendan, did you want to end up in a position where you had neither commissioner nor minister?
No, we didn't want to end up in this position. Unfortunately, we found ourselves in the situation with the commissioner that our own credibility was on the line with our membership, given the resounding result of a ballot off them last year where they expressed no confidence in the Garda commissioner and his office. And also then we're very disappointed by the minister's decision to choose not to attend in solidarity with the commissioner. We would feel that the two issues, while they are in some way, there is a bit of overlap. We believe that our relationship with the minister should be completely separate that with the commissioner, and the differentiation between politics and operational policing should exist. So we may understand the thinking behind it. We think it was not appropriate and certainly not in tune with what has been said by government in relation to law and order and getting behind the frontline operational guard. We believe we could navigate the difficulties and the intricacies of the situation with the minister, and certainly we believe that she should be here to talk to rank and file Gary and to listen to our concerns. So we'll communicate them through other channels of communication and methods when we have had our conference and discussed and debated our issues and devised a strategy and options going forward.
Although presumably you would understand how she might perceive it to be a gross vote or gesture of no confidence in the commissioner were she to attend in his absence.
Well, that's for the commission, or that's for the minister to navigate the difficulties of politics. But at the end of the day, the job at hand of policing the nation is bigger than any one person or any one office holder, and we believe that we are the key stakeholders in the government policy, the government's intentions to if it's the case to restore law and order and visible policing on the streets of our country. And we believe nobody else has the capacity to do that but the members that we represent. We're the people driving patrol cars, walking beats, cycling bikes, and that the public interact with on a daily basis. And if our voice isn't one that the commissioner or that the minister is prepared to engage with, we would believe that there is possibly a fault line in what has been said by the government.
Regardless of whether commissioner and minister are there, you will nonetheless, of course, be addressing a number of different issues and motions throughout the conference. You talk about the return to law and order and the return to visible policing. What, in the view of the GRA members, is needed to achieve that, and what are the current challenges?
Well, the first thing that's needed is more Gardaí, because we know there's a well-established crisis in recruitment and indeed retention, keeping the Gardaí. We can't attract the right people in there in sufficient numbers, and we can't retain the people we have. So that's the first thing that needs to be done. And secondly, we believe that the systems and what's called a modernisation reform programme, we don't believe it's modernising or reforming. We believe it's taking guards off the street as an overburdensome bureaucracy continues to grow. And we see guards tied to desks and carrying out administrative functions instead of being out on the streets where the public are very much, and elected representatives and traders across the country are commenting on what they perceive as an absence of boots on the ground and visible Gardaí patrolling. So certainly we are very much in tune with the concerns of the public, and we have tried repeatedly to highlight our concerns, and they've fallen on deaf ears. So again, it's time for us to take the temperature of policing, take a sit back, speak to our delegates from every section within the Garda Síochána, every geographical part of the country, and see what are the problems and what are the solutions. We're a solution-based organisation. We put forward solutions that we would hope that we'd be listened to.
You talk about the visibility of policing. Can I ask about the members' views in respect of how much they feel their hands are tied? Because we've seen instances now in the last week. We saw a protest in Wicklow where an RTE cameraman was forced to abandon the work that he was doing while guards stood around and watched this. We saw Roderick O'Gorman's house being bannered by thugs wearing balaclavas while Gardaí stood by and watched. We saw the protest, again, protest is a loose term, in Coolock, where men in balaclavas on horseback stopped traffic and passing families were harassed like scabs passing a picket line while Gardaí stood by and watched. What is it that stops the guards intervening in these instances?
Okay, well, it's a complex situation, and obviously, Anthony, I'm not talking about any specific instance, but what you refer to there is something that people have observed and commenting on. So from our members' perspective, the first issue, I suppose, is sometimes it's not a safe environment, don't have sufficient numbers, but that's not an excuse for not enforcing the law where necessary, there's law breaking. But our members don't have the confidence to go out and do their job. They feel that the focus of the state and resources of the state are focused on identifying mistakes that they made, and that the approach taken is not about learning, it's about using discipline to punish our members. And they feel very isolated and exposed. And there's been some very high profile cases where Gardaí have been prosecuted before the courts for doing, engaging in what we would have traditionally considered robust policing and possibly what most people would expect to see. So guards are second guessing their decision making. So obviously that's the overall atmosphere. And secondly, something that we speak repeatedly about is lack of training for specific scenarios. So guards, we used to always have continuous professional development, which was delivered in person. Gardaí, there's a huge deficit in training. So if the policing environment has changed and evolved and it's more aggressive and there's different offences being committed, we need clear organisational instruction supported by equipment and training and policy, so our members know exactly what.
Now, sorry, Brendan, just so that I'm clear, in real terms, does that mean when you say you need clear policies, does that mean that if you see somebody in a mob doing something illegal, you have permission to arrest them?
Well, it depends on the circumstances of any given case, and there's so many complex and different statutes and powers available to Gardaí, but finding the using the right and appropriate one is something that's subject of when a guard takes action and intervenes, either makes an arrest or makes an action up and decides to pursue a prosecution, the file goes before the law officers, that's the director of public prosecution, side, what's the appropriate channel. So I suppose in layperson's term, people expect you just see a guard grab someone, put some handcuffs in them and put them in the back of the van. We're very, very accountable for our decision making. It has to be appropriate, it has to be lawful, and it has to be backed up with appropriate protections for our members. And I come back to this thing where our members feel exposed, isolated, and not supported to carry out this function, because there have been a numerous incidents where our members have found themselves under investigation for discipline and indeed prosecution before the courts.
Now, sorry, Brendan, just let me wrap my head around that, because I realise you are being diplomatic. You've talked about things like robust policing. You've talked about members feeling unsupported. Does that mean that guards, when they are out looking at protests or unrests or public order issues, look at people doing things they know to be criminal and think, I am not intervening because I will end up getting grief for this if anything kicks off? Is that it?
That is a sentiment, that is a phenomenon that exists where Gardaí feel like that. And again, because they don't have the equipment, the training, or the support of the organisation and the organs of the state, certainly guards do not feel empowered to act. They don't feel that the state is backing them. They feel that they will be investigated. The focus of the authorities will be on their actions, not on the wrongdoing and the lawbreaker. And also, if they do make a mistake, it's very unforgiving. The discipline regime is overzealous, and we use discipline as a punishment in the guards, not as a training tool to evaluate and look back and see what can we do better next time. It's, did an individual guard do something wrong? They face investigation, fine, as I say, and in some cases, prosecution.
And who do members think is responsible for that, Brendan? Is that a GSOC issue? Is that a policing authority issue? Is that a commissioner issue?
It's a combination of factors, I suppose, Anton. It has taken hold in recent times, but certainly there has been a focus on discipline and regulation, and certainly our members. If you look at a lot of the press releases and a lot of the soundings that have come from both the Department of Justice and Garda headquarters in the last, I suppose, 10 years, it's, a lot of it has been the focus on rooting out wrongdoing, making an example of people. And our members, as I say, feel that they're the focus of the investigation, and the oversight is over. We, of course, embrace oversight and accountability. We're not saying the guards should be running around acting with any impunity and using force against citizens of this country. But when a guard acts in good faith, within protocols, and uses force, they need to feel that they have the support of the state. They don't have it in terms of equipment, they don't have it in terms of training, and they certainly don't have it in terms of the atmosphere that's
but
active.
Fundamentally, what that means, Brendan, is you're saying that sworn members are in a position where they are afraid to police by virtue of the fact that they will be punished for doing it.
Yes, absolutely, that's the case. So, I mean, the cases are high profile. The cases are very... There's a number of cases in the public realm, but there are numerous others in the private realm that the public wouldn't know about. And examples were members, a colleague I worked very close with myself, found himself prosecuted for assault for using his ass when someone jumped on his back and tried to choke him. So that's the sort of thing. So what does that say to the members that I work with? Well, you know, why would you do it? Why would you put yourself through that?
Do you have any reason to believe that there may be a change in that attitude or in that policy? Because GSOC isn't going to go away, the authority isn't going to go away, and there doesn't seem to be any mood music emerging from the commissioner to change anything in the way that he's been running the force.
We do see public opinion and pressure coming on it, and public statements from ministers of intent, and we see some vague instructions coming out from Garda headquarters. But certainly, no, we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel currently. But that's for the lawmakers and for people that it's not for our members to decide. Our members only act in the environment and in the decision making that they're subjected to and the environment they find themselves in. And as I say, they don't feel supported. They feel isolated and vulnerable, and that is very evident to anyone. And we saw it in the Dublin riots. All the commentary was, people couldn't believe that the guards didn't take more robust action. But we certainly, this is not news to us. This has been an evolving situation for many years, and it's getting worse.
Brendan, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is the GRA President, Brendan O'Connor, speaking to us there from Mayo, from the GRA conference, where, of course, Gardaí will be discussing a number of issues, including the ones outlined there by Brendan, and also issues to do with training and the availability of equipment and so forth. Coming up later on the show, the Israeli Prime Minister has vowed to reject any US sanctions. But how significant is this? And next we'll hear our 9-year-old girl has got her wish to be a zookeeper for a day at the Dublin Zoo with Make-A-Wish Ireland. Before that, though, we'll give you a shot at the cash machine.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.